Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
One natural interpretation is that there is an order to the world that is really tracking your innermost thoughts and then creating these coincidences. But I don't think that's it.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
And this is Two Guys on Your Head.
Today, explaining coincidences.
There's a great story that Richard Feynman would tell when he was giving a talk. And he said, you know, I was on an airplane. He said, I just had this feeling that my grandmother had died. It just came over me. I just felt like my grandmother had died. So as soon as the plane landed, you know, I went to a payphone. I called my grandmother and she was fine. And he said, you know, we never remember experiences like that. What we remember is the one where we thought about things. And then what we thought about actually happened in the future. Those are the things that stick. Yeah. Those are the things because of their coincidence, literally the word coincidence, right? Because of their coincidence, they become a part of our memory.
And part of this has to do with the fact that we as human beings are extraordinarily bad at reasoning about probability.
Yeah.
And so, you know, by definition, almost every event that we experience is a unique event. It's nothing exactly like that has ever happened before on the face of the planet. Now, some events are highly predictable on the basis of things that have happened in the past. Some of them not so predictable, right? So bumping into a particular person randomly on the street that you haven't seen in a while is a low probability event. But here's the question. How many things have you thought about in the past week that were opportunities to match up to something that you experienced?
Right.
Right. Well, chances are you actually thought about thousands of different things. And then, you know, if you take like the New York Times crossword puzzle, the Sunday Times crossword puzzle has a couple of hundred clues in it. So that's a couple of hundred opportunities for that to match up to one of the many thousands of things that you thought about in the previous week. You know what? Every once in a while, that's just bound to happen.
Right.
I mean, it's sort of like these probability games they play where they ask, you know, how many people do you have to have at a party in order for the probability that two people at the party will share a birthday? Right. And people, you know, you think, well, there's 365 days in a year. You know, you probably need to have like 80 people in the room in order to have that probability be 50%. But in actuality, it's 26. And, you know, that's mystifying to us because we have a hard time thinking through all of that math. And that's true of all of our experiences, which means it's coincidences stand out, but not the underlying probability.
You know, the famous example of this is the so-called Monty Hall problem.
Mm.
When Let's Make a Deal. What was the show, right?
Yeah.
And for those of you who might not have seen the show or don't remember the show, at the end of the show,
I'll give you a dollar for a wooden match.
Exactly. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But there would be three big curtains on the stage and some attractive woman would be pointing to them. And Monty Hall would say, behind one of these curtains is a car and between the other two curtains is a goat. He would ask somebody to pick a curtain. And so somebody would pick a curtain. And of course, the show would be very boring if he just showed him the curtain and either it was a goat or a car. So the host, Monty Hall, would say, well, actually, before I show you what's behind the curtain you picked, I'm going to show you a curtain that you didn't pick. And he would pick a curtain to be revealed that had a goat behind it, right? So that person picked the curtain. He said, before I'm going to show you that, I'm going to show you one that doesn't have the car. He does that. And he says, now, what would you like to do? Would you like to keep your original choice or would you like to switch? Now, when most people think about that option, they think, well, it doesn't make any difference if you switch. You know, should you switch? It would be better if you switch. It'd be better if you stay where you started with. And most people think, well, it would be the same because there's two curtains left. It's a 50-50 chance of getting a car. Now, that makes perfect sense, except it's wrong. If you switch, you double the probability that you'll get the car.
Right.
Now, intuitively, that makes no sense whatsoever.
Right.
And the thing that's interesting to think about this example, and there are many other examples like this, of course, is that decision-making has emotionality attached to it. Right? This feels wrong. Now, how can a piece of information feel wrong? Well, it illustrates something about the way we think, right? Our emotion system is attached to our intellectual reasoning system, and you don't separate them at will.
Right. Which is why there can be pieces of information that are dead wrong that feel right to
exactly.
us. Exactly. Which is why the mere fact that something feels deeply right to us is not necessarily a good indication that it is deeply right.
Right. It's important to consider, it's not that our brains don't function probabilistically, because our brains calculate many probabilities. A lot of our decision making, of course, is based on probabilities, based on our past experience and what our histories have been. And you know, kind of pulling this back around to where we started all of this, right? We're not very good at understanding the likelihood of events in an intuitive way. And so we tend to focus on things that are noticeable, that are salient. And things that are salient are things that we tend not to expect to have happen.
The way to think about coincidences is they're very salient, as Bob was saying. They stand out to us because we were primed to think about something and then we saw it again. And what we don't think about is that there were lots and lots and lots of things that we've been thinking about, many of which we never saw again. And so we didn't think to ourselves, well, that's weird. I was thinking about tuna fish and then I didn't see any tuna fish again for a week. But you're not calculating all those. The only thing that stands out to you is I was just thinking about my friend Ray, and then
there's Ray.
Next week we will talk about the psychology of privacy with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. Also, be sure to check out the new book, Brain Briefs, where Art and Bob take on a variety of topics across psychology. You can find your book wherever books are sold. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.